I got a side note on this, Rain. Did any of you, I had one guy that I've never met before. He mentioned this to me, but I watch the sky all the time. And I had been waiting for rain for a long, long time, and I had noticed all these chemtrails, constantly chemtrails, and our clouds were just not right ever. Then all of a sudden, Kennedy and Trump said they were going to put an end to it. Chemtrails went away, and our clouds started getting big and fluffy and popping up, and it started raining. And there was no funny smell with this rain. Praise God. We're getting our world back. We're getting set free. It's coming. We just got a little more ways to go, and we're there. So this, have a couple people help me with the communion, and we'll celebrate the sacrifice of Christ. And I say we celebrate it because this is a lot of what helps us every day. God, in His mercy, has given us a lot of things to help us get through life. And one of the things is the communion. And Jesus actually said, take this as often as you will. You know, so we can take it once a month. We can take it once a week, once a day. We can take it three times a day if we want. The important thing to do is to make sure that we don't let it become some kind of a religious habit or just a tradition that we do on the first Sunday of the month, but that we actually release our faith in the benefits that Jesus paid for us to receive in this communion. See, Paul told us that the reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. The way to discern the body of Christ is to actually look at this bread. This bread is His body. And see the different things that happened to Jesus in His passion. First thing we're going to notice that this bread is made without yeast. Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. See, yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus never once made a mistake. So this is the perfect body of Christ we're talking about. And you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. You'll notice also that this bread has holes in it. Every time that Jesus' body got pierced, He shed blood. Not just on the cross. His body got pierced when He got a crown of thorns. And His body got pierced when He got nails in His hands. And His body got pierced when He got nails in His feet. Every time He got pierced, He shed blood on purpose, and we get redemption in some area for it. You also notice that this bread has stripes in it. And the Bible tells us that it is by His stripes that we were healed. You also notice that this bread is slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. He took all of our sins. He took all of our sicknesses. He took the full brunt of the curse for us to set us free. We thank You for this. We're taking this broken body for our healing and well-being. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure, it has no sin in it, because Jesus never ever made a mistake. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that our sins are washed away. And this blood of Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which means we are in right standing with God. And because this blood has no sin in it, it is still alive, and it's still doing what God sent it to do. It is continually cleansing us from all sin. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 2. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to learn of Jesus. We take the most out of this opportunity, and we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and help us to rightfully divide the word of truth. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you noticed that the AI campaign is kicked into high gear? There's a lot of artificial intelligence floating around on the internet, all over. You constantly see things that are not true. They look cool, but it's not true. But there's a lot of people that believe it. I want you to know, not everything you see on Facebook is the truth. See, I want you to know not everything you see on TV is the truth. And here's another one. Just because somebody has credentials, that doesn't mean they're telling you the truth. See, there's a lot of people in important positions that are not telling the truth. If you ever question that, just tune into what's going on in Washington, D.C. You'll find a lot of people with credentials that are not telling the truth. Amen? But we have a guide. You know, his name is Holy Spirit. And he will guide us through these times of confusion that this world is going through. And the world is going through a lot of confusion, but Holy Spirit will guide us through this. We have to lean on Him and trust His guidance. You know, the Bible tells us not to lean under our own understanding. Amen? So look at chapter 2 of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My son, thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity." Yeah, every good path. "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." You know, Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's one of the first keys to our successful Christian life, is to learn of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. Have you ever noticed we make mistakes? Okay, so we're still people. Amen? We have these earthen vessels that we live in, but the Bible tells us that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what we cling to. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But Jesus did say to learn of Him. The more we learn of Him, the more of Him is going to happen to us. And what we learn here in Proverbs is that we're looking for understanding and knowledge. One of the things that's going to guide us through is our understanding of God, our knowledge of God. But it's not going to be just knowing about God, it's going to be knowing Him. See, there's a difference. There's a lot of theologians running around that know about God, but they don't know Him. See, there's a lot of theologians running around that are not even born again. They can quote the Bible better than I can, but they don't know God because they have not received the Spirit of God. See, Jesus told us that a man must be born again. And that's just the way it is. A man must be born again. That's the first thing we're going to have to do, is get born again. Then we can be led by the Spirit of God, and then we can be taught by the Spirit of God. Now the thing about Holy Spirit is he's not gonna go away from the Word. He's always going to agree with the Word of God. See, there's a lot of people that want to make Holy Spirit into something that He's not. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you the Word of God. Matter of fact, let's just go over to John chapter 16, verse 7 real quick. And this is the kind of the New Testament version of the gospel version of this Proverbs that we just read here. John chapter 16, verse 7. Says, and this is Jesus speaking here. Says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's talking about Holy Spirit. And see, Jesus told us he had to go away. You know, up until that time, at this particular time, Jesus could only be in one place at a time. See, if he was in Jerusalem, that's where he was. He wasn't in Jerusalem and Bethlehem. He was in Jerusalem. But now, because he has sent Holy Spirit, he's everywhere all the time. See, he could be right here teaching us the Word of God, and he could be in Africa teaching them the Word of God at the same time. Amen? And he could be teaching us the same thing. At the same time. That's how Holy Spirit works. He's everywhere all the time. He's with each one of us, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he is our comforter. See, there's a lot of Christians running around that are just completely worried about what's going on in Washington, D.C. They're completely worried about what's going on in the world. They're worried about a nuclear bomb. We don't need to worry about that. And the reason we can stay from that worry is because we have the Comforter with us. And he leads us into all the truth. See, Jesus told us here in verse 8, said, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. See, he's not talking about us. We're born again. The world doesn't believe on him. But here's our verse right here. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. See, the disciples knew when they were in his presence that they were in right standing with him. They knew things were well. They were in right standing, but he was going to go away. They were going to be wondering if they were still in right standing. We have a lot of church people wandering around, wondering if they're in right standing with God or not. They're wondering if maybe they made a mistake and they won't get blessed. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is here to convince us that we're in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. we're in right standing. See, right back over here to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9 says equity in every good path. The only way we're going to understand these things is with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, here he's here to help us learn. He's going to teach us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. We're literally going to look at the word of God and discern how this affects us. You know, not everything that is written in the Bible is written to you. Did you know that? There's a lot of people running around saying that this is God's love letter to you, and that's true. But here's the thing. We need to look and pay attention to who's speaking, who's talking, and who they're talking to. See, sometimes Jesus was talking to Jews. That'll do you no good to take that scripture and try to use it on Christians. Sometimes Jesus, sometimes we'll take John, for example. Sometimes John was talking to Gnostics. It'll do you no good to take those verses and try to use them on Christians. See, we got to figure out who's talking, who they're talking to, what the context is, and then we need to also make sure what side of the cross this was said on. See, everybody says the New Testament starts in the book of Matthew. The New Testament did not start until after the cross. See, there's a lot of things that were said before the cross that are not pertinent. It got changed after the cross. You know, Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. Didn't he say that? He said that, didn't he? Who is he talking to? He was talking to a Jew that was trying to fulfill the law. You know, when Jesus got on that cross, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He not only redeemed us from the curse of the law, but he took us out from under the law and put us into the dispensation of grace. Now, on this side of the cross, over here in the book of John, in the book of 1 John, it says to believe the love that God has for you. See, now that's different now, isn't it? See, we can try to love God with all our heart, and we'll fail. But God's love does not fail when we believe how much love he has for us. That makes the law of love in our life a lot easier to fulfill. Amen. Let's carry on here. Let's go down to chapter 3 of Proverbs. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, after the cross, see, we got redeemed. We got redeemed from the Old Testament law. We got brought out of that. But there's still some laws that we got to keep. Did you know that? In the New Testament, there's still some laws we got to keep. We have the law of faith. You know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. We have the law of love. We got to keep that. And we have the law of liberty. See, when we got born again, we got set free from all that Old Testament law-keeping stuff. And it's very important that we stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that we've been given. How do we do that? We make sure that nobody gets us back into that Old Testament law-keeping stuff. You know, the church today is rampant with that. And it's disguised so cleverly. See, I know they're not keeping that old stuff per se. But we'll go to the ends of the world and tell people that they are saved by grace. And then that guy will show up to church. And we'll say, now here's these five things that you need to do in order to get to heaven. Well, are you saved by grace or are you saved by your good works? You're saved by grace. The number one thing we need to understand is that guy on the cross that was next to Jesus, his hands were nailed to the cross and his feet were nailed to the cross just like Jesus. All he could do is just call on Jesus. And he was in paradise that day, wasn't he? You know, he didn't read the Bible the way he's supposed to. Did you know that? Didn't pay tithes. That got him kicked out of the charismatic world real fast. You know what else he didn't do? He didn't go get water baptized. He didn't go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't go to church. He didn't do any community service, but he got to paradise. How about that? He did the one thing. He did the one and only thing that could get him saved, that was call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Now, all these other things, you know, fasting and praying, reading your Bible and paying tithes and community service, all these other things are great things. Getting water baptized, getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those are great things. Those are the things that God has given us to enhance our Christian life and have a successful Christian life. But those things are not what it takes to get to heaven. Just believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how we get to heaven. Period. If God had anything else, he would have said there, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and fast for 30 days and pray for 70. I mean, he would have said that. He would have let us know. What happened? Men happened. Men happened. They said, yes, you're saved by grace. Now here's these other things that you got to know. If you ever hear that, no. I guess some of these preachers learned how to upsell from the internet. Have you ever noticed that? You go to buy some simple little $30 thing on the internet and you click the button and they hit you with the upsell. They add these other things. Now you can get this for $15. Yeah, it looks kind of cool. Click on the button. You can get this thing for $20. That's kind of the way the modern day preachers are. You get this. And then then you're going to have to do this too. No. But how are we going to stay free from that? His word. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. You know why he did that? So he could win a contest? He'd go to a memorization contest on the Bible? No. No. Because when we meditate on God's word, it gets in our heart. See, then we get what we call a rhema word. We get a revelation of it. We get an understanding of it. We know it. You know, now, you know, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're born again. And nobody can take that away from us. Why? Because we thought about it, we've studied it, we've read it, we've said it over and over and over again. We know it. It's in our heart. But we had to go over a few times to get it in our heart, didn't we? Everything that we're going to get from God is going to be the same way. We're going to have to get it in our heart. We have to believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth. Yeah. But we have to become fully persuaded of it, right? So that means we're going to have to learn from Jesus what he did. We have to get understanding of it in our hearts. You know, It's a good thing God doesn't bless us according to our upstairs understanding. You know, there's a lot of people that are blessed by the Word of God. They're crazy as a pet coon upstairs, but they believe right in their heart. Praise God. It's a good thing because we all fit in that category. You know, we believe right in our heart. Sometimes our thinking is kind of scattered. But our hearts, we get our hearts established on the Word of God. Remember, we talked about that in Psalms chapter 112. Our hearts are established in the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of things we believe in our heart. We cannot figure it out upstairs. We have no idea. We've never seen it happen before. We're believing for the rapture, aren't we? Have you ever seen anybody get raptured before? How do you know this? How is this going to work? Is he just going to grab you by the hair and pull you out of here? I better hope not. How do you know? We're believing something that we've been told in the Word. See, that's all we've got, is the Word. When it boils down to it, and we understand this, that the Word of God is the truth, and that the truth will change the natural things in our life. You know, when somebody gets attacked with a sickness, first of all, we figure out who that sickness came from. We know from John 10:10 that that's the thief, because John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's a thief. It's Satan. Jesus said that he came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. So then we know that God's on our side. Amen? So then we can go find out what the Bible tells us about this sickness. It says, by his stripes we were healed. Did you notice? I didn't say, by his stripes we're going to be healed. Because that's not the way it worked. We already were. You know, our healing was paid for before our sins were paid for. So what we're doing, we take the Word of God, we find that promise, we get it in our heart, and then we start calling things that aren't as though they were. And it may be true, we may feel like a rat. But we walk around saying we're healed. We're not lying. We're telling the truth. It's going to take our bodies a little bit to catch up with our confession. Amen? But that's how we call things into existence. That's how we get them to come from the supernatural into the natural. That's how we got born again. See, our sins were paid for 2,000 years ago on that cross, weren't they? But we wandered around on this earth for, you know, some people for 10 years, some people for 20, 30, 50, however many years it took before they got born again. That's when they made that a reality. When they said, yeah, Jesus, be my Lord. That's when they made that reality. And a lot of preachers are running around saying you need to get born again so you get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's not true. Whether they're born again or not, their names are wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, God is a God of faith. And he believes everybody can get born again. He knows not everybody will. But there is a warning in there to make sure that your names don't get blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is another area where Christians get all goofy. They're worried about maybe their name could get blotted out. No, The only way to get your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life is to not is to deny Jesus. See, when you get to that spot, if you're not born again, there's nothing God can do for you after that. That's why it's so very important for us to witness to people, help people get born again, make sure that they're saved. Four is a verse that a lot of people find themselves struggling with. They're always trying to find favor with God. But right here, in the first three verses, it told them, it says, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The first three verses said, my son, forget not my law, and let my heart keep my commandment. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is where our spirits have a fight with our education. See, we've all spent a lot of time learning something from the world, haven't we? And some people have spent a lot of time in the university systems. And I call those indoctrination centers. But we get taught certain things, and they impress it upon us as though this is the truth. A lot of things may be facts, but it's not necessarily the truth. You got to realize that not everybody in the university system is born again. So how are they going to know the truth? They're not. Well, we learn all kinds of stuff. You know, we read the newspapers, we see the internet, we see the news. Our friends tell us stuff, our neighbors tell us stuff, our family tells us stuff. We're always learning something. Amen. And then we come to an understanding of a situation. This is where we have our battle. We understand this situation to be a certain way. So this is the way I'm going to handle this. Do you know that you don't know everything? But God said, lean not unto our own understanding. So whose understanding are we going to lean unto? God's understanding. You know, my friend, he lived out the best example of this I ever seen, ever. He had a ranch in Montana, and he planted some wheat, and it didn't rain. And he said, well, you don't have to have rain to grow wheat. Isaac did it. Well, that's pretty bold. And I mean, his finances, his family depended on what he did. And he said, no, you don't have to have rain to grow wheat. So Isaac sowed in a famine, and he reaped a big crop. So it was getting closer and closer to harvest. And in that country, you know, if your wheat might not make wheat, but it could grow tall enough you could bale it for hay. So some people were fortunate enough to go out there and bale some of theirs up for hay. Some of them had to just go till it under because it wasn't even big enough to do that. But Elgin is sitting there with this crop of wheat. And Somebody said, "You want us to bring us a little, want us to bring a little truck out here?" And he said, "No, bring a big truck." And he had a really, really, really good crop of wheat, and it in a drought. How does that happen? By the word of God, you know, he took an example from the Bible, and he realized you didn't have to have rain to grow wheat. And he made a wheat crop. I've seen that time and time again. The Bible tells us, you know, let's just go, we'll look there and we'll close out with this. We'll go to Mark chapter 11. Let's see, this is, we're talking about, we're going to have control of our tongue. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And it says, "Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." See, Jesus basically tells us, you can have whatsoever you saith. You know, you get something out of the Bible, you find something in the Bible, you start saying that. You know, don't say what you don't want. You know, people are good about running around and saying, "Well, I don't want to run out of money before the end of the month." Well, what did you just do? You just spoke what you didn't want into existence. So we can train our tongue and say what we do want to have happen. "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You see, it didn't take really much more breath to say that than it did the negative, did it? But we get trained to speak negative. Did you notice how easy that is to speak negative stuff when you think about it? But we can run around talking about the positive, right? You know, this whole community is trained to speak negative about this area. Did you know that? They have signs up by the road to remind them to speak negative about this area. They walk around calling this a desert. Did you know this is not a desert? This is not a desert. This may be a high Sierra, but it's not a desert. If you want to see a desert, I'll take you up home to Wyoming and show you a desert. They run one cow to the acre, and sometimes they have to feed her. This is not a desert, but people run around calling it a desert all the time. And then they wonder why it doesn't rain. Why can't we just bless this land that we're in? Walk around calling this a place of flowing rivers, of green pastures, of fat cows. Amen? That would be a good thing to say, wouldn't it? Walk around calling things that aren't as though they are. I want you to go back to verse 23. It says, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain." See, Jesus told us to talk to that mountain. He didn't say anything about talking about that mountain. So we all got mountains. There's always some kind of challenges that we may have. And what people naturally want to do, they want to go talk about their problem. We're going to talk about their sickness, and we'll talk about their financial hardship, and we'll talk about whatever it is that's bugging them. Jesus didn't say anything about doing that. He said to talk to that financial mountain. He said, talk to that sickness. Talk to that challenge. Command it to be gone. Use his promises and stay in the positive. Amen? We better stop there. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And he's here to comfort us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that protects us. We thank you for the word of God that guides us. Father, we thank you for all these promises that you have given us. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to help us to receive of your mercy and grace. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cake and fellowship back here.